Good afternoon and welcome to Interact Virtual Conference and Expo. I'm Heather Fletcher, Senior Editor of Target Marketing Magazine. On behalf of Target Marketing Magazine, Printing Impressions Magazine, and sponsor EasyPearl, I'm excited to welcome you to this live do-it-yourself workshop. We have a lot to cover in 45 minutes, and this session is titled Hands-On Workshop, Create Your Own QR Code, Pearl, App, and Short Code. But before we get started, let's go over a few quick tips on how to make the most of this presentation. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the Help widget at the bottom of this console. The widget is on the bottom right-hand corner and looks like a question mark. Or let us know via the Q&A box. Please turn off any pop-up blockers so you can use all of the widgets and tools on this console. Clicking on the Tips for Attendees widget below will teach you what all of the widgets on this console do. Specifically for this workshop, I suggest you click on the Twitter widget, which is the fourth button from the left at the bottom of this console. From there, you can pull up your Twitter account and tweet right from your console. This will alert presenters Anthony Joseph and Jennifer Wong to your work, which they will be reviewing in the networking lounge after the workshop. Just so you know, when you tweet on this, it's going to automatically give you the Interact hashtag. However, the hashtag for this workshop is Interact Hands-On, so please also add that. You can use a URL shortener such as bit.ly or a screen-captured image to tweet your work. Issues such as loss of sound or stuck slides may mean you have to refresh your browser or, on a PC, push the F5 button. If any of the slides go by too quickly for you to digest, remember that you can download them at any time using the Download Slides widget. Finally, if you leave this session at any time or would like to view it again later, you can access the entire presentation from the auditorium in the Interact On Demand environment. The environment will be open for 3 months, beginning on Thursday, August 25th. Our two presenters both hail from Optify. They're Anthony Joseph, Vice President of Marketing and Customer Experience, and Jennifer Wong, Digital Solutions Manager. They'll be leading you step-by-step through creating your own QR code, Pearl, app, and short code. You can tweet your work during the workshop using the hashtag InteractHandsOn. Now let's hear from Anthony and Jennifer Wong. Even though I messed up your name, Anthony, sorry.
No worries. Good day, everyone. I'm happy to be here and work on this workshop with you and Jen. Jen?
Hi, Heather. Thanks for the introduction. We are excited today.
Thanks for doing this, guys. I'm ready to listen.
Okay, so we'll move right along. So today's workshop is a hands-on interactive workshop. You'll actually get to follow along with us and learn how to create an app. Jen will tell you what an app is. Create a quick response code. I know we've heard quite a bit about QR codes today. We'll actually get to create one in our session. How to create a short code and how to create a Pearl code, sometimes referred to as a PURL, we'll jump right in.
Perfect. So a quick agenda for today. For each of these chapters, what we're going to do is a quick overview of what it is and why you would use this communication channel, as well as a step-by-step process on how to develop these. And then conclude with additional resources, since we'll just be flying through these processes just so we can get in all four of these tactics during our session today. And then after that, we're going to share a little bit to the context for a real-life application with a quick case study that we actually recently did at another trade show. And then as well as just a final recap of additional ways on how you will be able to integrate these physical marketing campaigns with an online presence. So then first, we're actually going to dive right into how to create an app. So if you're ready, what we're going to first introduce is, what is an app? So an app is typically a software application used on a smartphone or mobile device. And usually it's a narrowed version of the software designed to fulfill one specific function. And here's an example. As you've seen a couple of examples today from the other sessions, this is one mobile app. As you can see, it's not just a smaller version of the actual website. There's actually a core function with simple design, clear and easy navigation, as well as limited images, so you'll have faster load times, which is ideal for mobile browsing. And just to give you a little more context, and to answer the question, why even go through the process of developing an app? So as you can see, more than 5 billion apps were downloaded over the year of 2010. So clearly there is a demand, and not only is there a demand, but people are actually using these apps. So one other fact is an average smartphone user spends around 667 minutes every month using an app, which is equivalent to almost 10 hours per month. So as you can see, it's not just where someone downloads the app and never thinks about it again. People are actually using it, engaging with it, so there is an audience to grab attention from. So what we're going to do is actually get started and start creating an app. So what you do is actually click on this image directly, and you should open up into another browser, which is appmaker.com, appmaker.com. So once you enter into this browser, what you'll be able to do is actually register for a free trial directly. So if you click directly on register, fill out the short form, which includes the email, your password, terms of service, and then clicking submit, you'll actually be sent an email directly with an activation link. So I'll give you guys a few minutes just to fill out the short form and then check your email directly. All right, so hopefully you should have received the email by now. Clicking on the activation link actually opens up a new browser on your window, on your browser. And from then, I'm actually going to click to the next slide. So I have actually screenshots of the step-by-step process. So if you do get lost, you can go directly back into our session again, away from your browser, just to compare side-by-side. So when you create a new app, you'll actually be able to see two options, to create a native Android or an iPhone app. And today, we're actually going to create one for the Android. So clicking directly on the Android app, you'll be able to enter in a keyword, so either a keyword, a URL, or an RSS feed to be able to populate your first tab for your app. And then what that screenshot is going to look like, this image directly on my screen. So what AppMaker does is actually crawls for specific content regarding each of the information that you actually entered. And what it does is populate artwork, tabs, and just kind of a baseline for content for your app. So the first thing that you're going to do is actually create artwork for your first app. So this is your splash page as well as your logo. And if it turns out the tool can grab an image, you can just choose another one. You should have a very diverse set of options for you. So once you choose your artwork, click Save, and then we'll move on to the second tab, which is actually two populate tabs for your app. So as you can see, you can develop various types of functionality within your app. You can either send messages, populate images, or even content. So the example that I provided was creating tabs and RSS feeds for Optify's blog, Twitter account, our Facebook posts, as well as videos from our YouTube channel. So aggregating all of this content and putting it into one app as a way for our customers or even people interested in online marketing or lead generation to stay up to date with a lot of our social content that we share through our different channels. So once you kind of choose a couple of your tabs, what we'll do is click Next, and you'll be directed to add a custom header. This is just another way to develop more branding into your application. If not, you can just skip this tab. We're actually going to fill out information about your app. So all of this information is going to be publicly displayed when you do publish. So it's simply adding a title, a description of either your company or the app, and then just contact information just in case people do run into technical problems or additional questions. They'll be able to reach yourself or your company.
And this information will be publicly displayed when you publish the app. Is that right?
Right.
Okay, great.
So after giving you guys a couple of minutes to fill out a quick description of your app, this is all editable when you do publish. So it doesn't go directly into the app market, but this is just for the app maker to gather all of this content to put together in a little file for you. What we'll do is click Next, and then what App Maker does is actually build the app for you. So it actually builds the file that you're going to need to publish to the Android market. So clicking Building App, it takes about a couple of minutes. You can do that now, or you can do it offline, but what you do is get a file, and as you can see, you can directly upload it to the Android market once you do have a developer account. So creating an app for the Android market actually takes less than 24 hours. You can get authenticated as a developer within a couple of hours. You just apply. And then going through this whole process, you can actually upload the Android market, and it takes maybe 5 minutes or so for you to be able to see it. What I've left you with is additional resources. So this first one is the App Maker link for you to reference again if you'd like to kind of tweak your app or even explore how to make an iPhone app, as well as other app building tools for non-technical marketers, and the resources for the Apple Dev Center as well as for the Android Dev Guide, and then just another tools to create some additional tabs, such as how to create an RSS feed, for example.
Wonderful. So I might be able to create an app if I don't have any developers and I want to test the concept and get it out in the market quickly?
Exactly.
All right. Well, great. Thank you, Jen. What next do we have in store?
Perfect. So what we're going to do next is learn how to create a QR code. A lot of talk about that this morning. I was in the networking lounge and attending a couple of the sessions, and sounds like there has been a lot of context around it, so we are going to give a little more insight as well, and Anthony's going to start with that.
Right. So today, QR codes have now become the hot marketing tactic du jour. I think most folks are trying to figure out what they are and what value do they provide and whether or not they should investigate using them. We'll take a quick moment just to tee up what are QR codes or quick response codes, just to set the floor. We don't want to assume that everyone knows what they are. So these are codes that are two-dimensional images that function like barcodes on packaged products. And the one major difference is that QR codes can contain much more rich information about whatever it is you are trying to communicate. The information is encoded, and that can be text. It can be a URL, a phone number, SMS message, an RSS feed. It can invoke a specific call to an API to submit a request on behalf of that scan function. And they're essentially pointers to digital content and allow marketers to be able to link to a website, maybe even activate a phone function, including email, instant message. Gives you the ability to connect the mobile device to a web browser on the phone give you a means to perhaps connect a customer in the physical realm to the digital domain, and we'll talk a bit more about that shortly. So why use QR codes? So QR codes can be used to share information very quickly. You may have a URL, you may have an offer, you may have a promotion. These are all things that will take lots of text to convey and communicate to the customer. You might put a teaser prompt and a QR code with specifics about what the customer might anticipate or expect, and let their scanning function or scanning action do the work on your behalf. They're fairly portable. You can put them anywhere. In fact, we've heard about the bus program that one of the large technical companies in the Bay Area is running right now, which has had some reasonable success. You can put them on business cards. You can put them on products. You can put them on the doors of your physical presence. We've seen many creative uses for marketers. Utilities, so we mentioned earlier that they can house large bits of information, and you could make that as rich as you want, and also include a call to action, which gives a very direct means to connect a customer to your landing page, for example, for an email sign-up. It allows you to boost visibility, so one of the uses that you might see is scan to like this particular brand or scan to follow this particular brand. These are the actions that are now making their way into SEO, so search engine optimization, so social signals, likes and shares. We've seen some positive correlation between likes and shares, the number of likes and shares, and a rank of a particular website in search engine results. We also see that social proof is a way that you can use your QR code. So perhaps I want to provide a quick link to an authoritative instance of who I am. So you may not know enough about me from a very quick text, text blurb, but if you can scan my QR code and get to my destination, you can validate who I am. You can learn more about who I am and what I'm offering. That's one way that you can use QR codes. And then one of the uses that we like is the tie into analytics. So not only can you include a call to action, but you can use link shorteners to create URLs that get tracked through your tracking system. And Optify is an application that marketers can use to drive more traffic and leads through SEO and social media in real time, and use tracking information that you embed in QR codes to be able to see, are these marketing mechanisms working? Are we actually converting customers when they land on the website after clicking on the QR code? And being able to measure and share results is something that we've been able to create a tie-in for QR codes that we'll share a bit more later.
Perfect. So what we're going to do now, again, is learn how to create a QR code. So there are a lot of different types of QR generators, as Anthony said. So what we're going to do is actually use deliver.com. If you click on the image, again, you should open a new window in your browser, or you can go directly to the URL, deliver.com. So again, that's deliver.com with no E. And what you'll see is actually a QR code generator directly on your screen. And with this, so the first thing that you'll be able to do is pick your code type. So as Anthony said, you can encode different types of data within your QR code, anything from maybe your Google Places, the actual physical location, or an SMS message, or even just simple text or an RSS feed. So what you can do is directly pick a URL that goes into that blank field, and you can choose if that URL should be shortened or non-shortened. And the difference is that that's actually going to affect the amount of data encoded, which is going to affect the aesthetics of your QR code. So it will get a lot more data heavy if you do have a lot more data that you need to be encoded. And then the third field is going to be your tolerance for error. So that's going to be a trade-off between the accuracy and then, again, against your aesthetics for your QR code. And then the margin is simply just the cell padding around your QR code. The scale is just the various sizes that it can be created in, and then as well as the color. So QR codes are read based on the contrast between the pixels. So you can choose a color such as yellow, but you might be trading off for the accuracy when it's actually being read on a QR code reader, for example. So we would suggest to pick a bolder color just so that you don't have the accuracy compromised, so people are able to scan your code. So by now you should have been choosing all of these different fields, click generate, and then on the right-hand side of that screen you should get a QR code populated. So with this code, again, as Anthony said, you'll be able to put it on a bus or on some direct mail at a trade show, or even direct mail when you're sending it directly to your customers. So what we left as additional resources are first the QR code generated that we use today, deliver.com, as well as additional marketing ideas, some additional ways to use QR codes in business today, and then also just as important, some QR code readers. So I know a couple of you had questions on the most recommended QR code readers for BlackBerrys, and I think there's a couple on that additional resources link for you. So what we're going to move on to next is actually how to create a short code. So as before, just a quick overview of what a short code is. It's 5 or 6-digit numeric code used for bi-directional communication. So you can almost think of it as a URL shortener, but for a phone number. And then you might ask, why would I use a short code? Well, since the code is shorter, they are easier to remember and utilize, which is a big marketing benefit. So what we're actually going to do is dive right in and actually create a short code campaign. So there are going to be differences where I'm going to touch base at the end on a short code number, actually owning and renting it, or just developing a short code campaign. So today we're doing the campaign. If you click on this screen again, you should open up a new window browser, which is going to be trumpia.com, T-R-U-M-P-I-A.com. Again, that's T-R-U-M-P-I-A.com. And we're actually just going to go through the process of first registering for a free trial. So there should be a free trial sign up on the top right corner, which you're going to click. The promotion code you can enter is my Twitter handle, GenerationWise, and then the rest of the short form to sign up. So it's the simple name, email, password, terms of service, and then when you click sign up, you'll actually be directed to an additions page, and we're actually going to want to continue with a free trial. But this is something you can refer back to if you are interested in sending additional messages. But today we're just going to test, so the free trial is an option. And then once you actually click continue, you should receive a message saying trial subscription created. And then you can click directly on Go to My Account. So I'm just going to give you guys a couple of minutes just to go through that process. When I've gone through it, it was just a minute or so. There's no activation link this time to your email, so you should stay directly on this window browser. So then I'm going to move to my next slide, which is to actually show you how to first collect contacts because you want people to opt in to your service. So what you'll actually do is on this screen, you can actually see multiple ways to collect contacts, but the one that we're going to do today is actually to create a mobile keyword. So on the right-hand side, there's a blue button that says to create a keyword. So when you click that, you'll actually first enter in a keyword, and this is going to be the phrase of your campaign. So when you see people say, text the word happy to 12345, that's going to be your mobile keyword that you want to type in. So you choose your current keyword. You're going to choose a list. So create a list, and that's just the name that you're going to segment out this audience for. You're going to want to enter in the number of text alerts that they're going to hopefully expect from you on a monthly basis, just so that they have some sort of expectation of what they're opting into. And then you're going to enter in a quick message to send to your recipient. So this can just be a quick welcome note or an introduction to your company or even directing them to your website to find out more information of your terms of services, for example. And then you're going to click save directly. So then once you click save, this is actually where you'll be able to do a quick self-test. So pulling out your mobile phone, you can text your keyword that you actually created to the number 69302. So everyone actually has the same short code number, but they're all developing different campaigns. And when you receive that, you'll actually get the user experience of what is the ease of use, what can they expect to receive from you when they're actually opting in. And it's a simple two-message process saying you opted into your service and then the welcome note that you actually sent. And then if you decide to just hold off and create your campaign later, you can actually test out our test today. You can text interact to 69302, and then you'll see a similar experience with your user. And then just to wrap up this chapter, for additional resources, there's the first link with a couple of different tools to create short code campaigns. If you are working with a developer, you can actually in-house develop this process to do this bi-directional communication over SMS. Or you can actually own or rent your own short code. So as we all texted the same number, you can actually own a short code number and develop multiple keyword campaigns with the own short code that you actually own. And then this is actually a process where you have to actually apply through the CSC. So now that we wrapped up short codes, what we're actually going to do next is learn how to create a PURL or a personal URL. So then diving in, what is a PURL? So there have been a couple of names. A persistent or personal URL is a web page customized for an individual visitor. So as you can see, one example that I left is http://example.com/John Smith. So it's going to have that personal feel with their name directly on that URL. And then why would you use a PURL? So one use case, I'm sure that you've heard many today at the earlier sessions, is to be able to transfer a physical marketing touch to an online engagement. So for example, direct mail with a personal URL, you'll be able to have your customer type in a vanity URL with their name, and then all the information is very personalized to them. So that content is a more customized experience when they actually log in online. So the first thing that we're going to do in creating a personal URL is to register for an account. And what you can do is either click on this image again to open up a new window in your browser, or go to purlem.com. So it's purlem.com. Again, it's purlem.com, purlem.com. So once you click on that, what you'll do is be able to register for a trial account. So it's another simple short form again. First name, last name, email address, some bits of contact information. And then again with this, you should be able to log in and create a campaign.
This campaign is effectively a landing page, correct?
Correct. So it is a dynamic landing page for each one of your consumers individually. So when you create a campaign, this example that we're doing today is actually a hosted trial. So you won't actually have to send them directly to your website, for example. That is one thing that you do have access to by putting a piece of HTML code on your website. But what you'll be able to see here is kind of the user experience on how to create a campaign, how to create the contacts that you're going to create these custom landing pages for. So when you first create a campaign, what you see here is be able to add a contact. So adding a contact is simple as if you have their contact information already, uploading their information, or filling out a simple short form with their first and last name, and then directly from then, you'll actually create a vanity URL to be able to create this custom landing page out of. So right now, you should be in the process of either adding a contact manually, or you can upload a couple of names. What you'll do next is to actually create the landing page content. So using codes such as someone's first name. If you put together a form or survey, you can pull in those data fields. And then when you click Save, you'll actually be able to view the live page on the top right corner. So with the hyperlink, when you view the live page, it's actually in testing mode. So you will be able to see, for example, if I created one for Anthony Joseph, it would say, "Hi, Anthony, welcome to your customized landing page. This is what your user would experience," but it's not necessarily a live page yet until you actually publish or you have it live on your own website, for example. So this is just an easy way to get started, just to see what the user experience would be like if you wanted to invest more time in creating custom landing pages for your entire database to market to. And again, this is one way you'll be able to kind of connect your offline users and bring them into a personal online experience, especially if you're sending them directly personalized content in the mail. They might like that experience in an online space as well.
Okay, thank you, Jennifer. So what you have hopefully seen is the tactics that you can use to creatively enhance your marketing campaign. So these can be used independently or in combination to attempt to reach your audience in a way that's different from the traditional means you've applied previously. With these new tactics, be sure to think about the strategy for reaching your target segments and integrate whatever new tactic you are applying with your current or new media into your traditional means. So create an integrated plan that allows you to align your messaging, align your content, align your offers, and be sure to have a follow-through in mind. So as with any marketing campaign, some basic best practices apply. Define your goal. So make sure that it's clear what you're trying to achieve. Are you trying to drive awareness? Are you trying to distribute information? Are you trying to give away a product to drive interest in what you're offering? Give instructions to the customers. So don't give them a code and assume that they'll know what to do. There is a broad cross-section of technical savviness in the marketplace, and some customers will know exactly what to do, and others may not. So tell them what they're going to get for playing, for scanning the code, and give them reasons to come back. So it's tempting to simply allow them to scan and fill out a form and use that information to capture contact or lead information and come back later to them with an offer or an email campaign. That might serve your need, but not necessarily the needs of the consumer. So give them something that makes them interested in your offering, something that feeds them and makes it compelling for them to come back to your website and brand again. Develop and implement and share. It's very difficult to predict how a particular campaign might perform in the marketplace. Build your requirements and define what capabilities you have. You may not have developers at your disposal, so you might use one of these third-party tools to test a number of different go-to-market tactics. If it turns out that one of those tactics are successful, you might then use that prototype as a means to spec out and build your full application with your development team. You can now take the data into your engineering or IT group and say, hey, we've run this test, and this actually can work for us. We need to invest in developing the right solution. Make sure that you are providing explanations about what the user will use, so when they land on your landing page, give them some indication that they are filling out a form and you are going to send them content, and this is content they are expressing interest in rather than give them something to worry about. Maybe they think that you're harvesting email addresses and they won't fill out the form. So you have to address those fears when they land. And then experiment, test, and measure. Look at your analytics. Experiment and see whether or not the content, the message, the offer is working. You might want to experiment with the size, the location, the color of your QR codes. It might be that something that's more unique, like you guys may have heard of the test the BBC did with
interspersing BBC, the brand, in the midst of their QR codes. It might be that that performs better for your particular campaign, or maybe it doesn't perform as well with your campaign. Measure, see how many folks have clicked on that, have scanned, have come back to the site. When you send them follow-up content, do they actually wake up? Do they come back? Are they engaged? And then refine your tactics accordingly. And to give you an example of a real-world case study, I'd like Jen to talk about how she used QR codes and used the Optify software application to make a connection between a physical campaign and a digital campaign. Jen?
Yes, so one thing that I decided to try out for one of our many trade shows that we attend is to create a QR code with a specific offer. So I created custom business cards just for this one trade show where they had two QR codes. One was scan to download an online version of our Twitter for Business guide, and then another QR code, scan to vote for us in a different contest that we were in during the trade show. So with this business card, we were handing it out as a way to kind of do an on-floor marketing activity while we were at the trade show. So what this allowed us to do was reduce printed material with allowing people just to view our Twitter for Business guide online, as well as to kind of interactively vote for us in a fun and innovative way. So what we were able to do post-show was to actually track this campaign within Optify. So what I did was tag the specific shortened URL with parameters where we would be able to track within our software. So we were tracking a mobile campaign with this specific QR code, and then we were able to see exactly who actually scanned, if they came back to our website, and if they actually took a look at other pieces of content. So it's not necessarily saying we had 50 people scan this QR code, but we actually identified who these 50 people were as individuals and exactly how engaged they were with our content post-show. And if you are looking for more information and kind of the layout of this experience, I left you additional link to learn more information. And then finally wrapping up, just kind of a quick recap of why these tactics, why these marketing communications channels. So as you know, people want to connect with what's happening around them. People are always carrying their phones. Mobile is personal, it's portable, and if you reach them with these specific communication channels, it's an additional way to take advantage of always being top of mind with them. They'll be able to take your content along with them on their day-to-day basis, and it's just a way to be able to stay engaged on a daily basis. And that actually wraps up our entire presentation. Hope you were able to follow along. If not, I know there's little buttons on the bottom of your screen to be able to download our full presentation again.
And so looks like we have some time, Heather, for questions.
Okay, sure. You have several submitted to you by the audience here. I think one of the things I wanted to say quickly, though, is, guys, there seem to be several questions about the URLs. Feel free to download the slides. All of that information is there, so any of the URLs you were asking about are on those slides. Let's see here. Anthony, is there a particular there was one here that looks interesting to me. Can we track our QR code responses? That's the main point of QR codes, correct?
Yeah, that's one of the main benefits marketers can get from using QR codes. Based on the fact that you can embed information such as a link, you can actually provide the information that you need to know whether or not that campaign was successful. So you can track the link. You can track the return path from those users who are scanning. There are some tools that actually will give you scan metrics as well. So you might be able to tell whether or not folks are engaged by scanning but not necessarily following through. That might give you some insight to know that perhaps your landing page is not optimized for actually capturing and converting the users once they land.
Okay, and the next one is, please further explain settings and how to decide tolerance for error, margin, scale, and how email can be integrated in work.
Yes, I can start, and Jen can jump in. So the great thing about the tools that are now available online for you to create QR codes is they have error proofing to a large extent built into their creation applications. Some of the better applications do give you the ability to override those control parameters with respect to size and color, but they do give you some indication that, hey, it looks like you might have a quality or an accuracy rating of less than 90% if you choose this color. And typically those error messages or warning messages are interactive with the parameters that you were setting in real time.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Okay, so first of all, just something as an aside, thanks to everybody in Philly who stuck with us, even though there was a 1.5 earthquake here during this presentation.
Ooh.
So you guys were quite moving. Did you like that joke? Yeah, I'm sorry. there really was some kind of, the building shook, but I will go to something more relevant to you guys. Everybody here, you are welcome to ask questions of Anthony and Jennifer in the networking lounge. So it's on your list there. If you're in the plaza, you just go to the networking lounge, and there's also a menu that'll take you there. On behalf of Target Marketing and Printing Impressions Magazines and Easy Pearl, thank you for attending this presentation. If you're interested in discussing anything that you heard, we encourage you to visit the networking lounge, and that will also have a whole lot of attendees in it, in addition to Jennifer and Anthony. So you can also visit the information booth to fill out our show survey. We'd love to hear about your experience today. And I am going to have to close it up, so have a great afternoon, everyone.